I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get a hold of
everybody up there!
Get into it!
Away.
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show. And online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation. Always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show on KMBZ 980 AM. I'm your host, Jason Grill. I appreciate you joining us as well on iTunes and Stitcher via podcast, as well as at grillnationshow.com, our website. Been getting a lot of hits lately, and I appreciate that. I want to thank our partners and supporters of the Grill Nation Show before we get started with this big show today. The title sponsors of the Grill Nation Show are Truss, MoBank, BOK Financial, and Two West Advisors, and Ryan Rink. The contributors to the show, guest hosts, are the Rieger KC and Jay Rieger & Co., Ryan Mabey, One Light Luxury Apartments, and Reactor Design Studios, and Clifton Alexander. One of our great title sponsors of the Grill Nation Show is with me today, Michael Viazzoli, President and CEO of MoBank, BOK Financial. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Very excited about today's show. We are going to have on Joe Reardon as our guest, who's the President and CEO of the Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce. Joe is a interesting guy. He's a lawyer, has a law degree, got a political science degree, I believe, in undergrad, got his JD from KU, worked in law for a while at a prominent firm in KCK, and then ran for office, was the mayor of Unified Government of Wyandotte County, KCK, for about 8 years, two terms in the 2005 to 13, and did a lot of good stuff there, and then has now... I had a couple other gigs since then, but is now the president and CEO of the Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce. Going to have him on today to talk about Better KCI, talk about regionalism, and also talk about some of the other initiatives they have going on, and maybe some things Kansas City does well and some things that we need to work on. So it should be pretty exciting. You helped set this up. You've been involved with Joe in the past.
Yeah, the thing about Joe is it's really neat to kind of see his progression and kind of his different career steps he's taken. Each of them has been very big on regionalism, connecting regionally, trying to understand the economic drivers behind our overall success as a region as if we work together. And I think he's done a good job of that over time. And then match that experience and capacity with what our Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce is really tasked with doing. And actually has taken that burden on themselves to act as that local regional coordinator. And I hope we're going to talk about a few things that really exemplify what that means.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into more about Joe here in a little bit. How have you been? What have you been up to at MoBank, BOK Financial?
You know, for me, it's been actually a great first half of the year. Needless to say, I enjoyed Labor Day, mm-hmm. and had some time to kind of reflect on kind of where we as a business are. And the last couple of weeks have been pretty invigorating. Mm-hmm. And each day is just another opportunity, another example of why we brought these two organizations together and how that's proving out and how we're differentiating ourselves. Every day is also an opportunity to do things better. And so we're very focused on that. But with every interaction I have internally, I think about the talent that I'm visiting with, that we've hired, that we've recruited, and that are part of our kind of corporate family. And I match that up with our client base and how I like to believe that our people really reflect our community, and being a part of that, and it feels really good.
Mm-hmm. So you're excited, and you've had a good first year with the merger.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
not the merger. What are you going to call it?
Well,
the acquisition.
I mean, the technical of it,
it's a collaboration.
It was an acquisition by BOK Financial, but it, on the local level, when you think about size and scope of what Bank of Kansas City was, think about what Missouri Bank and Trust was, you put those together, the way Grant Birchermeyer really thought about it was, how do we meld these two things? You know, is it kind of a modern family type situation? Is it a true integration of, you know, we've created our own framework for operating in our market for us that is different than elsewhere in BOK Financial. Mm-hmm. And that is, makes us also unique in terms of what our culture is and what kind of where we place our priorities. And Grant and myself and our leadership team, we've just yesterday, we had another kind of really neat session about what it is we can take. What else can we do to take it a step further?
Mm-hmm. Michael Viazzoli, guest host and contributor, title sponsor of the Grill Nation show with MoBank BOK Financial. The website is mobank.com. Joe Reardon again is our guest today on the show. We will do three segments with Joe. We could have probably done, we probably could do like 10 of them with him.
Absolutely.
That'll probably fly by today. But it, if you're interested at all in what the region's doing as far as growth in your business or a citizen of any of the great cities, it'll be a really cool show. One thing we're going to talk about is with Better KCI and then a new terminal, which will be on the ballot in November in Kansas City, Missouri. So if you're Kansas City, Missouri resident, make sure you get out and vote. Our kind of the business case for it. And I think people don't realize that, you know, major companies and throughout this community are making thousands of flights a week through KCI, and they're greatly affected by the lack of nonstop flights when trying to transport their employees. And also, too, we're going to get into the Amazon bid, and one of the things that they want is an international airport, right? Mm-hmm. And we have one, but we only have a few international flights. Kansas City has the ability to grow on that and have more international destinations. I think 300 people leave Kansas City every day to travel internationally to Europe, which I thought was Joe will probably get into that, but it's pretty fascinating. So there's all these different issues, but the business community really need a new terminal for their employees, for the growth of our companies, for job creation, not just construction jobs, but also job creation with our businesses.
And from my perspective, there's a couple of different ways, a couple of different angles to that. One is, as a company headquartered here in Kansas City, and whether you're a sole proprietor, you've got 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, if you want to grow your business, you need access outside of the Kansas City region, and you need an airport that will provide that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do not take steps to make it a facility that airlines are willing to operate in, we're going to lose service. So our own businesses are going to be impacted by that.
Good example of one thing people don't think about is that, you know, the airlines need this. They want this. And they're the ones that...
The big piece of his operation.
They're the people that drive us or fly us around the country.
Yeah.
Also, too, from the international point of view, I mean, getting people through customs and all those things, too, are an issue right now.
But also think about, as I do when I travel different places, if I have to switch over planes or stop somewhere, I think about, what are the amenities? What's the convenience of that airport where I'm going to have to switch planes?
Mm-hmm.
Or if I need to go there for the day and come back, I will make a decision based on how easy, how convenient, how hospitable that particular airport is. And we need people to be flying more through Kansas City, using Kansas City as a hub as they get to kind of elsewhere. And so, if we don't do that, people are going to intentionally avoid coming through Kansas City.
Less flights. We've seen St. Louis get more.
Exactly.
And I think, too, on that note, 90% or close to 90%, I've heard, of the travelers who pay, you know, the fees and the travelers that come through KCI are from other places.
Exactly.
They're not from here. So when you hear the people out there saying it's convenient, well, it's going to be just as convenient. But we got to remember, too, that 90% of the people aren't residents of our city.
The other piece of it is, just selfishly, if I'm at the airport waiting for a flight with my family, I don't want to have to worry about how long the line is at the bathroom. And so
that's another one. So Michael Viazzoli is with me today, and we're going to have Joe Reardon coming in here in a second, president and CEO of the Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce. Joe has given over 75 speeches through the community about Better KCI. It's going to be fascinating to talk to him today. Also going to get into some other issues with Joe about the Kansas City region and things that we can do to become a better region and city. You're listening to Grill Nation Show. Appreciate Michael Viazzoli for joining me as well today. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back. everyone. Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show on KMBZ 980 AM. Appreciate you joining us as well on iTunes and Stitcher Radio today, as well as at grillnationshow.com. You can always connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. Excited about our partner in the show, MoBank, BOK Financial, Michael Viazzoli is with me again today. I appreciate him joining me every month and really doing a great job with what he's doing at MoBank, BOK Financial, and also with helping set up guests and movers and shakers in Kansas City for the show. I appreciate it, Michael.
Happy to do it.
Welcome back to the show. Our guest today is Joe Reardon, who's the president and CEO of the Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce. And there's a lot of things happening right now in the Kansas City region, so we thought it'd be good to have Joe come on today to talk about some of those things, one of which is the Better KCI campaign, a movement for a new terminal at Kansas City International Airport, which is obviously going to be on the ballot in November. Exciting news. We're strong proponents of that here at the show. Also, I want to talk to him about some of the initiatives, other initiatives that the Chamber is working on, as well as some of the things Kansas City has going for it and some of the things that we need to work on as a region. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Joe Reardon. How are you?
Thank you very much, Jason. It's good to be both with you and Michael. And I didn't know you were on Stitcher. I'm going to have to look you up.
I am.
There.
Well, yeah. That's kind of where we get a lot of our listeners here.
I'm a Stitcher fan.
We get the older crowd at 980, and we get the younger crowd on iTunes.
That's great. Awesome.
So it'll be fun. Yeah. Okay, Joe. So I didn't mention you were also the mayor of Kansas City, Kansas, but the unified government,
right,
of Wyandotte County.
Right.
And also an attorney.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about your background. I know you went to KU
Law
and Rockhurst undergrad.
Yeah.
And you stuck around in Kansas City. Tell us about kind of the progression and I guess you are a recovering attorney as well.
I'm a recovering attorney, a recovering politician.
We have a lot in common.
That's right. No, that's right. And I will say one thing. Normally, I don't really dive into this, but I spent a semester in Washington, D.C. when I was an undergrad and interned for Mo Udall, who was a U.S. Representative from Arizona. It was a really great experience and kind of learned a little bit about D.C. But I haven't strayed very far from home. I love Kansas City. It's my home. It will always be my home. I think no matter what. So.
That's always a tough thing is D.C. There's a lot of opportunities for guys like Joe and I. You know, when you're going through law school and you're interested in politics, but for some reason, you know, it's not my favorite place to live. I lived there too for a while. Compared to Kansas City,
it's a great place to visit. Yeah. It's a great city, and it's become even better over time. In fact, they've done some great redevelopment in Washington, D.C.
Real
estate has gotten real expensive there.
Yeah, very expensive.
No doubt.
So, Joe, you kind of talked to us about, you know, your political background as a mayor. I think that's pretty interesting.
I was mayor for 8 years. Enjoyed every minute of it. I do come from a political family from Wyandotte County. My grandfather was a county commissioner and county clerk, and my dad was mayor of Kansas City, Kansas for 12 years. He passed away when he was 45, and I was always the kid that said, I'm never going to do, you know, that political thing. I loved my dad and respected him and admired him. So he would be laughing out loud if he would have seen that I ended up, you know, taking the same seat that he had had. But the 8 years in Kansas City, Kansas was remarkable and deeply rewarding. You know, I followed on the shoulders of Carol Marinovich. She did a wonderful job. And really part of my goal was what I believed was important for KCK and Wyandotte County, which continue economic development, make sure there was stability within the government, which had not always been the case in Wyandotte County and Kansas City, Kansas. I think investments attracted to that, and really try to move the entire community forward. So spent 8 years doing that. And some of the fun things I got to work on that I never would have imagined, you know, what's now Children's Mercy Park and the Cerner office complex that's out by the Speedway. We built the first new grocery store in KCK in 30 years at 18th and I-70. It's an absolutely great project. You know, witnessed a lot of the great developments going on around KU Hospital and Medical Center, which still continues to this day. And then got involved in trying to attract Google Fiber to the Kansas City region, which was really a lot of fun. And in the middle of that, we got a casino built out at Wyandotte County, out by the Speedway. And so, you know, no matter what you want to do, if you get out by the Speedway, we probably have something to offer to you.
Mm-hmm. Continuing to grow out there, right?
It's continuing to grow out there. More housing, some more office as well. It's been remarkable. And, you know, the star bonds paid off early, which means that, this governing body right now currently has and will anticipate $14 million annually in sales tax additional every year going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
great.
When you got started in on your 8-year track there, yep. did you have 3 bullet points of what you wanted to accomplish, or did you have a master plan that kind of came to full fruition, or how'd you start that process?
Yeah, I'm an optimist by nature. And so I was on the commission for 2 years. Okay. And what I, you know, that was just at the beginning of the Speedway being announced and getting built. And so it was just, it felt like things were starting to come together mm-hmm. in a really remarkable way for Wyandotte County and Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah.
And Carol decided she wasn't going to run again because there's no term limits in Wyandotte County. And so it was an open seat. And I just was, I was energized about what I thought could happen in KCK, and I wanted to continue it. And like I said, Michael, I was interested in making sure that there was continuity within the governmental structure. You know, I think at every level of government, you know, the ups and downs and the instability that can occur with changes of administration really, I think, can set you back. And I knew that that wasn't something that Wyandotte County and Kansas City, Kansas should have happen. And so really trying to carry, you know, getting the baton from Carol and carrying it forward was what I believed was important. And then really, if you look at the long term for Wyandotte County, Kansas City, Kansas, still true today, I think there are 2 pieces that are extremely important. One is to make sure that there's housing opportunities to bring the middle class back to KCK. That's starting to happen. I think it's incredible. Mayor Holland has been able to announce the last 2 years that there's net population growth again in the county. Amazing. And then the second thing is to focus on education, to make sure that the young people that are growing up in Wyandotte County can fully engage in the economy, the great economy that's going on all around us here in the whole region. And so I think those things are deeply important, and I'm proud of, I think Mayor Holland's done a great job, and there's a lot of good things to continue to come in Kansas City, Kansas, and Wyandotte County. A lot of challenges, but a lot of good things, too.
That's mm-hmm. great.
You had a Senate KCATA, but one of the things I want to focus on is regionalism. That's important to you. So tell us why that's so important, especially with the state line here. You mentioned the Google Fiber Project. We're going to compete for the Amazon project, which we could talk about later, but that's going to take some, you know, not bipartisan, but state line work.
Yeah, we got to erase the state line for that.
Sure.
Here's what I learned, Jason, when I decided I decided not to seek a third term. So, you know, towards the end of 8 years, what I started to realize was every project that you could think of, if you think about Wyandotte County, is a project that relies on the region for it to be successful. And for a long time, that wasn't the case for Wyandotte County. We were pretty insular. So if you think about Nebraska Furniture Mart, for instance, if it's just Wyandotte County residents like me shopping in Nebraska Furniture Mart, it's not open for a week. Mm-hmm. It relies on people from all over the region. Same with Children's Mercy Park. I'm a season ticket holder there. With the Point of Pride, when I look around that stadium, there's some other Wyandotte County folks there. But there are people from all over the region that are coming to that. Same with the Speedway. And so what I came to realize as I was leaving office was, my God, now my community, in order for it to thrive, the whole region has to thrive. And that really sort of got me really engaged in trying to think about where can I play a role in moving this whole region forward, getting rid of this border war to the extent that we can, and thinking about how to sort of knit us together. Because I think that's how we're going to be successful for the long haul. That's how we will grow. There's no doubt about it. So KCATA was attractive to me, not because I technically know how to run a bus system. I don't. Thank God there's a great COO there, Sam Dessou. I'd recommend you have him on the show. He's awesome. And of course, you know, you've got a great team there. But I think I was brought on board really to try to knit that back together again. The transit system really had become fractured by way of jurisdiction. So there was a separate operation in Johnson County, a separate in Wyandotte County, a separate in Kansas City, Missouri, and Independence. And I really was brought in to start to try to knit those things together. And I think in the short time I was there, we made some great progress. And now Robbie Mackinnon's in my chair. And, you know, there could be no one that's more of a champion about regional transit than Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fundamentally important, not just because it's the right thing to do, but at the end of the day, and this is for the chamber too, making sure that you're able to get people to work, that they have an affordable way to get to and from work, is the key to part of our economic prosperity in this whole region. And having a system that functions together as a network, as opposed to operated separately in jurisdictions, is a good step forward in that.
Talking to Joe Reardon, Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce President and CEO. We got a couple minutes left in this segment. We're going to get into the airport terminal and Better KCI here in the next segment. Talk to us about Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce. You've been on the job now for a little bit of almost 2 years, I guess, a year and a half. What's that been amazing. Like? And what's your job there look like?
Yeah, it's an amazing job. And we're a regional chamber, so we have great members like Michael that are engaged in our endeavor. And it really is a collective. 2,200 members, about 60% of our membership's based on the Missouri side of Kansas City, 40% based on the Kansas side. So we really are regional in nature. And it's the power of this business collective that's pretty incredible. So I'll give you an example. 2 years ago in Jeff City, we were in the State House and we fought against a legislative proposal, SJR 39, which was an attempt to have a constitutional amendment that would allow certain small businesses to discriminate against couples based on their sex relative to whether they would get services or not. Our chamber was completely against that. Well, when we went down to testify against that piece of legislation, we had somebody in the legislature attack us and say, hey, this is just big business trying to bully small business. We were able to pull out a sheet of 390 businesses from the smallest guy in the crossroads to, of course, some of our largest employers that collectively were saying, this is not right for Kansas City. It's not right for our future. Mm-hmm. And you could see the impact that made
on that
committee that we were in front of. It's very powerful. The business community is a very powerful leader in the long-term destiny of Kansas City. So I get to sit in a seat where we get to connect that all together. And it's a very rewarding job.
KCChamber.com, Michael, we got to go to break here, but one of the aspects we can touch on too is the public policy aspect.
You bet.
You guys do have a role in that as well as support of local businesses and really great programs and events. We'll get into those as well as the Big Five initiative and kind of some of the other initiatives you all are working on at the Chamber. Joe Reardon is our guest today. You're listening to Grill Nation Show. Thanks for joining us today.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off. Don't give up.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill, 980 KMBZ on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, as well as at grillnationshow.com, where you can find photos of our guests and our podcasts as well. We're talking to Joe Reardon, who's the president and CEO of the Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce, also joined today by Michael Viazzoli, who's the president and CEO of MoBank and BOK Financial, a contributor to the Grill Nation Show. Joe, we got a good background on you on the first segment. Want to dive into one of our hot topics in Kansas City right now, the new airport terminal. And I know you've been traveling around to different businesses throughout the Kansas City region, giving a presentation on Better KCI. The Twitter handle for that is Better_KCI. Tell us about what you've been up to, because this is a very important issue to Kansas City businesses.
You know, when the pause button was pressed by city government about a year and a half ago now, it's been, believe it or not, we took a deep dive. The Chamber, KCADC, and Civic Council collectively took a deep dive into what was important about this airport and in its importance to our future. And coming out of that, we realized that there needed to be a conversation that was deeper than the one that had been going on. So when we do a presentation on a Better KCI, we're not really talking about how many steps you take or which side of the wall you're on or whether the restrooms have been cleaned. There's plenty of talk about that. We're trying to talk about the business case for KCI, how it's connected to jobs, how it's connected to growing Kansas City, how better air service matters to the future of cities across the country, including ours, and that a single terminal can matter to all of that. Mm-hmm. So we've gone through a lot of research, and we've done this amazing presentation package, and we decided to reach out to our members and engage them directly in having a conversation with their employees. So I've done personally 75 of these presentations. We're well over 100. Everything from a small company to one of our largest was we were at the Federal Reserve Bank not too long ago, and we had 400 people in the building that came down for the presentation. So, and we've had a mix everywhere in between. So thankful to our members and businesses across Kansas City that have opened their doors for the conversation. And it's been a great conversation.
Mm-hmm. And a Better KCI, some of the talking points here and the bullets are access to more destinations, stronger economic driver for regional growth and jobs, improved conveniences and amenities, stronger airport security and modern technology and innovation, major league city status for the next generation, and if you don't fly, you don't pay.
Right.
What are some of the questions you're getting at these presentations from folks?
I mean, I think you have all kinds of questions. So, you know, we've really focused on the why. So there's a lot of questions about, you know, Edgemoor now has been selected by the selection committee or recommended by the selection committee. So there's a lot of questions about that that we aren't really privy to some of those details because that's inside of City Hall. So we really try to keep the questions and the focus on, you know, the business case.
Why
we need this, right? And so the questions, you know, we get are around air service. You know, if you do put in a new single terminal, can that lead to increased direct flights? And you can be competitive for those in a way that we aren't today.
European destinations.
European destinations.
International
as well.
Destinations, which is going to be big, I guess, for if you're competing for an Amazon headquarters.
It's huge.
If I need to start commuting to Zurich, I can just fly direct from here.
Well, I can't promise that.
I've been hearing the there might be a direct to London at some point from the airport, folks.
Yeah. So I'll give you a sense of this. So when we visited Dallas-Fort Worth on our leadership exchange trip that the chamber takes every year last September, they told us that every international flight to them has the economic impact of a Super Bowl, $250 million a year. So you bring that back to Kansas City, what does that really mean? There's 300 people that start every day in Kansas City and end up somewhere in Europe. And with that number, a mid-sized city like Kansas City can compete for a direct flight into the European marketplace, probably by a European carrier because the U.S. carriers still likely want to send you through whatever their hubs are. When I started giving this presentation 3 months ago, there were about 6 cities on the short list. All of them now have received a flight to Europe, including St. Louis most recently. We're the last guy standing. Our aviation department's out trying to get this business because we have the numbers to justify it. But think about unloading 250 people off a wide-body aircraft and processing them through customs and immigration in our current configuration at the terminal. It's physically impossible as it exists today, and we're not competitive in how we can offer that to carriers that might be interested in the Kansas City market. New Orleans is a great example of a city that's been aggressive, that now is building a new international terminal, has a 4-day-a-week direct flight to London on British Airways, and I think they just recently attracted a flight to Frankfurt as well. And they're an airmark. They're not a hub. I mean, people aren't going to New Orleans to fly to London. They've been able to exploit that opportunity. We have that opportunity in Kansas City. The terminal design is holding us back from being very competitive.
Mm-hmm. And so that vote will take place in November. Logic of how it kind of came to be with the public vote for private financing, but it's happening.
That's correct.
I'm excited about it.
I think that
the education process is ongoing. Obviously, once we get through the selection of Edgemoor and it goes to the city council, once that happens and we start talking about the things you're talking about more than the city council stuff, I think that voters will see that. And I think it's important to make the business case because I think people just think of convenience for the regular traveler.
I mean, we talked a little bit about Amazon, right? And we're trying to attract them. But just think about existing businesses in Kansas City. The way regions grow is they do business in more than just the region. So if you look at some of our growing businesses, there's a lot of them. Cerner, Black & Veatch, Burns & Mac, name whoever you want.
A lot of startups too, tech companies.
And a lot of startups. So, yeah. They're reaching out, you know, their wares and goods are being sold, their services, all over the country and all over the world. Better access to those marketplaces means they can continue to grow in Kansas City and create jobs here. That matters to everyone, even if you aren't the man or woman that has to get on the plane every week, right? So
I think I didn't realize too just how many jobs we lose, like from companies that want to move to Kansas City because of there's not enough nonstop flights or direct flights to destinations that they get to from states maybe that are on the coast that want to have a Midwest location.
And there's plenty of folks that we deal with through the bank that either individual or business purpose, they are on the road. I was talking to someone last night. He's going to Sacramento today for a pitch and coming back tonight. And if we don't provide and have a service that keeps up with the demands of our folks, we're going to lose those types of entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
How do you deal with the kind of the core question of if you don't fly, you don't pay? That's a huge issue that's really got a lot of people confused, if not kind of their head right on the whole issue.
Right. I think it helps that it's private financing that's coming forward now. I do think it was difficult for many in the public to understand that you would be voting to allow the city to issue bonds, but somehow or another, you as a taxpayer would not be responsible for them.
Mm-hmm.
So the private financing, I think, helps better tell the story that, you know, this isn't funded by tax dollars. You know, your property or sales tax doesn't go to pay for this. It's paid for by the users of the airport. So it's paid for all those that are in the region that use the airport. So if you think about it for a Kansas City, Missouri voter, it's a great leverage. 88% of the users are outside the city limits of Kansas City, Missouri. They're going to be the ones that pay for a bulk of a brand new airport.
And that is huge to reiterate to people.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing with the Las Vegas. I had a stadium guy in last week, the Las Vegas. He's like, anything's possible in stadium architecture in Las Vegas. anything's possible with anything because of all the tourists.
Yeah.
They pay for everything.
That's right.
So you're saying 88% will be paid for by?
By people that don't live in Kansas City, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do this right, the percentage could even go up because you could have folks transferring through the airport more because there's more connecting flights. And every time you interact with an airport, all of us, part of the plane ticket we paid helps offset the cost of that airport. So we're paying for other people's airport every time we fly. Wherever we go, we're paying for others. So it's not as if there's a way to control costs by saying, boy, if we just don't put a lot of money into this airport, you're going to have the cheapest tickets in the country. The fact of the matter is our tickets are increasing at the same percentage rate, national average, as brand new airports that have been built across the country, mm-hmm. Sacramento, Indianapolis. Their tickets are increased by the national average after they opened those new terminals as well. So really what we're talking about here is an opportunity to allow Kansas City to propel itself forward. I think it's one of the last assets that really needs our attention in Kansas City to continue to make us a great region that can compete for an Amazon headquarters. You're mm-hmm. darn right we can.
It's got to be your front door to your city, right?
It is the front door. You know, I get to work every day in Union Station. That was the front door of the past for Kansas City.
And talk about the renovation there, like what it did for it.
It was incredible.
I mean, just your offices are there now. I mean, people are going through there. I've had a bunch of people in from D.C. For a wedding a few weeks ago. They went there and were just blown away.
When this region gets together and decides to do great things, amazing things happen. That building a little over 20 years ago was literally falling apart. And this region got together and the business community really led the charge. Passed a sales tax across the state line. We erased it, rebuilt that building. I get to work in it every day. And guess what? Just 2 years ago, it was the front lawn for our celebration of the Royals winning the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you one of
those. That goes back to your regionalism.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the same is true in a lot of ways about the gateway at KCI as well. I think we're having to make up for a first impression every single time someone new comes to our city, and it just should not be that way. And by the way, I think one of the other myths to dispel there is we're not building Atlanta Hartsfield. This is not going to be Chicago O'Hare. My 13-year-old son would love to ride on a train like he does in Denver Airport. I had to tell him that's not going to be the case. This airport's going to be scaled to a size in Kansas City that's very manageable, but with 35 gates that can easily expand our marketplace. So it's going to be a livable kind of terminal, not a gargantuan one that you have a hard time managing.
But innovative.
But very innovative.
But should be a shining star for innovation, and people look to it in similar sized cities and say, wow, they did it right there.
That's exactly right.
And we have a lot of minds here in Kansas City that are very innovative.
Make sure that's the case.
And obviously the Edgemoor team, if they get selected by city council, has said that they want to be one of the reasons they got selected was they want to work with the city and with the community. Which
well,
I think is
that,
a
that's
plus.
A huge expectation that they're going to have to live up to on that one. But I would tell you just this topic about the terminal, it is one of those transformational topics for our city that if we don't deliver on it, we're going to end up just withering away like a lot of Midwest towns are these days.
I kind of agree with that. And I think it's,
I don't think that's an overstatement.
Yeah. No.
Michael, I think you're right. I think you're very much right.
Well, it'll be exciting to see the campaign go to, we got to get 50% for this one.
That's right.
Unlike the last Kansas City issue where it was 57%.
That's correct.
So that makes it a little bit easier, but I assume it'll be, hopefully it will rise. And, but you know, these things are always competitive, right?
Always competitive. And this one certainly will be.
We're talking to Joe Reardon, Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce President and CEO, Michael Viazzoli from MoBank BOK Financial President and CEO, also joining me today on Grill Nation Show. We'll be back for our final segment of the day. Appreciate you joining us today on 980 AM. Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill, and co-host today and contributor to Grill Nation, Michael Viazzoli, BOK Financial and MoBank President and CEO is with me today. And our guest today is Joe Reardon, Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce President and CEO. Fascinating conversation about Better KCI. There's also a lot of other stuff going on that you work with, Joe. Tell us about some of them. One is Healthy KC.
Healthy KC has been an amazing initiative that really has got the chamber engaged, not just in looking at how we can help support businesses and making sure their workforce is healthy, which is a fantastic part of the work that we do, but it also has allowed us to create unique partnerships to really move Kansas City forward overall. So one of the ones that really combines our public policy experience with health outcomes was a partnership that we formed with our healthcare institutions and with our insurance companies, as well as foundations that deal with health, called Tobacco 21, which is an initiative to move the purchase age for tobacco products from 18 to 21 years of age. And of course, the foundations and the hospitals, they know the data that you can absolutely have an impact on smokers by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
We went out, instead of going to the state houses, we went out to cities.
Sure.
And we engaged them. And we've now been to 24 cities across Kansas City, and they've changed their law to change the purchase age from 18 to 21. So that's pretty significant, having covered that. So it's not a resolution, sign off
on
a letter.
Very significant in Missouri.
It's it's change your law. So I've been to some of these meetings where, you know, the police chief's there to explain how they're going to enforce it, and licensing's there to make sure the businesses know what's going on. And so that affects almost 1.7 million Kansas Cityans.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really great. It was a power of a collective. It was the business community getting together with others that, you know, you really sent a message. You delivered a message. When we come together like that, you really can do it. And the other ones are resiliency efforts. So if you look at young people and really their ability to learn, and early childhood's one of our big five initiatives, resiliency and dealing with trauma that happens to so many kids, you know, on a day-to-day basis is so fundamentally important. So we've been doing a lot of good partnerships there. And the one that we announced recently, we're the first chamber to have a partnership with Sesame Street in communities. And so, you know, I can hook you up with Cookie Monster if you need a photo op, but it really is important. So our ability to affect young people, to get them to be in a better position to learn early in life, is just it. That's what's going to lead to viability for Kansas City in the future.
You know, there's two things that you and the Greater Kansas City Chamber have taken on as their scope of responsibility, is much broader region, not just Kansas City, Missouri. And there's two instances where I thought you've really shined. One is the legislative issue that we talked about from a couple of years ago, and then this healthy KC, particularly with the Tobacco 21, to see how that's just kind of built momentum of such a common cause, and it required someone just to bring everybody together, and you took the lead on that, and it's been a huge success, and we're going to see years and years of benefits of that for our kids.
Michael, I can agree with you more. And what's cool about that is that the business community can play this role of initiating regional strategies, mm-hmm. because, you know, for each city, their constituency is that city. They're concerned with that. It's not that they're not concerned with other things, but without someone like the business community saying, let's knit this together.
Yep.
You know, right now it's Tobacco 21, but put something else on that platform. And with credibility, we can go and engage and get regional movement to happen. And for Kansas City, that's so fundamentally important to our future, because our competition is not across the state line. Our competition is other regions that are doing all they can to beat us at our game, right? That's mm-hmm. what it really is all about.
And you talked about some of those things. You have a leadership exchange, and you go to different cities, right?
Correct.
And so let's talk about that. First off, what is it? And then I want to talk about some of the things you notice that we do well in Kansas City and some of the things we need to work on as a region.
Our leadership exchange trip is a group of about 150 thought leaders from business to government to nonprofit that get together every year, and we take a trip to another region where we think we might be able to learn something good that's going on and bring it back.
You mentioned you went to Dallas.
Dallas-Fort Worth was
one. To see the airport.
We did the airport, right? Among other things. We saw the airport. We also saw Clyde Warren Park, where they covered over what looks like I-670 with a park in downtown Dallas.
A lot of people want that. Mark Alford from Fox 4 contacted me about that and said, can we do this? I go, they've already been looking at this, man, for a long time.
I was on that trip, and that was really telling. It was all around transportation infrastructure, but also this inner city redevelopment, and that was a really neat.
So that's something that we could maybe work on, and I think downtown is developing quickly. And you know, if we're going to be attracting potentially some of these major companies, we'll probably have to get pretty innovative with at some point a downtown campus for someone again. I mean, there's all these ideas that you could put together that are really interesting.
Yeah, cities are the place, regions are the place where great things can still happen. I think the bond election in Kansas City, Missouri, is an example. Of the voting public might be skeptical at the national or the state level, but when the right thing's brought forward, Kansas Cityans believe in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to take that and leverage that for us to be competitive and be innovative. We're on the cusp of that right now. I really believe we're in an era in Kansas City That's unique. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to grow the region stronger than it's ever been, in my belief. And
so that's why we have to continue that.
We have to exploit it, right?
Joe is a former elected official. He knows that there can be pendulum swings often in elected officials. And hopefully we have another mayor in a few years. We'll continue to grow.
Yeah.
I'm a pro-growth guy. So,
But also think about some of the momentum that's behind some of these initiatives. We talked about the chamber teaming up with KCADC.
Sure.
With Civic Council, and I know Mark is in there at different times. Yep. And, you know, those are all institutions that in and of themselves have some inertia that will continue on.
Yeah. So we're at that crossroads that will continue. You said very good right now with regionalism and pride in Kansas City. What are some of the things that we could do better as a community that you've noticed since you've been on the job?
I think we have a lot of room to go around regional transportation and transit. Mm-hmm. I think the streetcar is a good example of thinking about a different mode, but we ought to be the innovators in how you knit a whole system together that looks at innovation to drive it. And I think there's big opportunities there. I think the business community absolutely needs to have a voice in that to talk about job access and empowering people. If you look at the way that regions work today, the regions that are successful are the ones where you've got a regional economy that gives an opportunity for everyone to participate and that's growing robustly. Mm-hmm. So when we were in Dallas-Fort Worth, they talked about decades ago where the mayor of Fort Worth used to carry a sack lunch into Dallas if he had to go to Dallas because he wasn't going to pay for his lunch there. And if you fast forward to today, that region is growing so fast that all of those lines have been erased. And their focus now is to eclipse Chicago and become the number third largest metropolitan area in the U.S. We need to find our enemy and focus. And our enemy is not within, I mean, it's intramural sports, right?
It's not St. Louis.
He almost said it. He didn't say it, though.
It's not St. Louis. You know, we talked about this last week. Right. We should be working with St. Louis.
We should be working with St. Louis. But let's look at Indianapolis and understand, you know, what they've done well. Nashville is an incredible mid-sized city.
Nashville's becoming a very strong economic. And tourism is huge there.
That's obviously exactly right. And there's nothing physical
Louisville
about
as well.
Nashville.
Louisville is as well. Their mayor is very awesome, and he's innovative. So you really have to have strong leadership, but you're right. You got to be a region.
And the business leaders of this community, like Michael and others, are the ones that will set the expectation for the electeds that come in the future. Because those seats are going to change, mm-hmm. you know, even without term limits, those leaders are going to change. And if we set the tone and expectation for what this region stands for, I think we'll attract people will gravitate towards that into elected office. That's important for our future.
And we always have to be thinking about doing more than one thing at one time. Obviously, Better KCI is huge right now, but you, like you said, you've got five or six different huge initiatives of the Big Five and Healthy KC. You guys are constantly thinking down the road.
Entrepreneurship
which is something we need,
fundamentally important.
Yeah, we need to keep thinking down the road as a city and continue to grow. I also want to compliment
you on Gen KC. I was at that event last week.
That breakfast was incredible.
And we've got just a rotation of young people from our company that are going to that and participating. It's great.
Joe, I appreciate you coming
you
on
bet.
The show today.
Absolutely.
Joe Reardon,
you,
President and CEO, Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce.
Jason.
Michael Viazzoli, MoBank, BOK Financial, President and CEO. Thanks for putting this together today. It's been a great show.
It worked out well.
Thanks, guys.
Great being with
you guys. We'll see you next week on the Grill Nation Show. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.